Hello and welcome to Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters, and today we'll examine a number of stories and issues in the news. We'll begin with the just-announced merger of the two cable giants, Comcast and Time Warner, and examine what this will mean for the consumer, now at the mercy of what amounts to a monopoly and a gatekeeper over the pipe into your home that brings you television and internet. Michael Copps, who was an FCC commissioner from 2001 to 2011 and currently heads up the Media and Democracy Reform Initiative at Common Cause, joins us to discuss the cablization of the internet by powerful monopolies and what citizens can do to restore consumer choice over what news, information, and entertainment they have access to. Then we'll look into the Jordanian king's busy schedule in Washington and his Valentine's Day-long meeting planned with President Obama at a Palm Springs estate. Kurt Ryan, a professor of political science at Appalachian State University, a Fulbright scholar to the Hashemite Kingdom of Jordan, and author of Jordan in Transition from Hussein to Abdullah, joins us to discuss the regional pressures on Jordan from the war next door in Syria, the instability in neighboring Iraq, and the unresolved Palestinian issue, as well as internal pressures on the kingdom from democratic aspirations raised by the Arab Spring. Then finally, the filmmakers of the Academy Award-nominated Best Feature Documentary, The Square, director Jahan Nujeim and producer Karim Amer, join us in the studio. We will look into the role the film that is banned in Egypt is playing abroad and whether outside pressures can influence the military regime that 3 years after the democratic uprisings in Tahrir Square, documented in the square, has deposed the first democratic elected government, rewritten the constitution to make them above the law, and announced that the supreme military leader is a candidate for president. And joining us now is Michael Copps, who was an FCC commissioner from 2001 to 2011 and currently heads the Media and Democracy Reform Initiative at Common Cause. Welcome to Background Briefing, Michael Copps.
Thank you very much. Happy to be on with you.
And this $45 billion merger announced on Thursday between Time Warner and Comcast, it's almost as if we're in two alternative universes here. Corporate America are happy, but 30 million customers who are already the least happy customers of corporate America, I suspect, are going to be facing even worse service than they have already. What incentive would this vast monopoly have to improve the service that so far has proven to be so inadequate?
Well, probably very few. I was really stunned to read about this proposed merger. It wasn't so long ago that Comcast and NBCU joined hands, and I was the only FCC commissioner at that time to oppose it, but it just struck me as so daunting because it was the whole nine yards. It was broadband and broadcast. It was content and distribution, the medium and the message, so to speak. It was traditional media and new media. And now we're just a couple of years beyond that, and here they are out to number one company to pick up and purchase the number two cable company. And I just think it is filled with bad news for consumers and consumer prices and the possibility of competitive marketplaces. So I hope it's dead on arrival when it meets federal regulators, but we'll just have to see what happens.
Well, prior to the Comcast Universal deal, of course, Comcast in 2002 bought AT&T Broadband for $50 billion. So they've been on a buying spree, obviously. How do they get this kind of credit? I mean, what is the logic behind being a monopoly? I guess the logic is that if you're a monopoly, you can write your own ticket. Is that what it is?
Well, it hasn't been without government encouragement and government approval, so I don't just blame the dynamics of the marketplace. I blame a failed government response and a lack of public interest oversight. You know, we've been on a consolidation binge in this country for years and years, and I spent most of my 11 years at the Federal Communications Commission speaking up and opposing the media consolidation, the telecom consolidation. We've got, I think we've inflicted tremendous harms on consumers, on competition, and on journalism itself. This really gets, you know, this isn't just about business and the business climate. It's about democracy and the democratic climate, too. And if we're going to have gatekeepers exercising such vast control over programming and content and distribution, we're allowing them a lot of control over our lives. And as we go through this transformative evolution to the Internet, where more and more of our daily activities take place and more and more of our future is wound up in it, it becomes all the more important to make sure we take advantage of that broadband technology and its openness and opportunity-creating ability. And you don't do that by allowing gatekeepers to erect toll booths along the way and higher prices and not nearly enough build-out. So it's been a combination of private sector and public sector, and this is preeminently the time for the public sector to step in and say enough on antitrust grounds and public policy grounds and public interest grounds and consumer protection grounds, and even for the benefit of business itself. You know, I think a lot of small businesses, medium-sized businesses, who may look askance at this when they go to advertise on TV and they don't have much bargaining power over what they're going to pay to advertise, you know, that's not so great for business either.
Again, I'm speaking with Michael Copps, who was an FCC commissioner from 2001 to 2011 and currently heads the Media and Democracy Reform Initiative at Common Cause. Well, Michael Copps, the FCC just lost an important court case before the appeals court in D.C., the court below the Supreme Court. Verizon won that case over net neutrality, which is devastating for the future of the Internet that you just were referring to in terms of the gatekeeping potential of these giants.
Right.
So what's the chance then of that being revisited? I know that in many ways the die was cast under the earlier chairmanship of Michael Powell, but can that be rescued so that, you know, that after all, the FCC, is that's supposed to be the people's voice, if you will?
Well, it can be rescued. It can be reversed. The commission made a terrible mistake back in 2002, beginning in 2002, when it classified broadband as something other than telecommunications. And while that gets you quickly into the weeds, what it meant was they put any oversight of broadband in an ambiguous part of the law where you didn't have any consumer protections or like privacy and public safety and 911 calls and ubiquitous services and comparable prices and all of that. But what the court said, basically, and this is kind of the silver lining in the decision that threw out the FCC rules, if you had come into the court and call this stuff telecommunications, you know, likely it would have passed muster at the court. So it was a horrendous error. It was done largely at the behest of the special interests and Internet service providers and big business, and because of the ideology that we had regnant at that time about how you didn't have to have any public oversight and how the marketplace would take care automatically of bringing broadband to every home and hearth in the world. So, yes, now all the FCC would have to do would be to say we made a mistake back in 2002. Of course, this is telecommunications, and we're going to treat it such. Now, that's easy to say, but, you know, the big industry players have legions of lawyers, and they have wheelbarrows full of money to influence this decision. So it'll take a bit of a profile and courage for the new chairman to do this, and nobody knows if he will or he won't. He's gone on record saying he's in favor of the openness of the network and Internet freedom, but now it'll be time to translate that into action. But I hope they'll do that, because if they come up with remedies that are short of that, that's what took us down this bad road in the first place. Well, we won't call it telecommunications. We'll call it something else. We'll put it here or there or someplace else. And it led to all sorts of confusion and litigation. And if they try that again, we'll just have more years of litigation. So reclassification of broadband as telecommunications as a Title II service is, I think, the only credible response to what the court has done.
But in effect, what the court has done is what the consumers out there listening to us, Michael Copps, who are already very dissatisfied with their cable company because of the poverty of choice and because of the fact that the cable companies can essentially charge what they like. If the internet, this last arena of free speech and free access to information, if it becomes like cable television, then we've truly lost. And that is the portent, is it not?
Well, you put your finger right on it. What's at stake here is the future of the Internet. And if we cableize the Internet, that would be, I think, a mistake of historic proportions, just because it is such a dynamic technology, such an opportunity-creating technology that can do so much in everything from creating jobs to help us care for ourselves and educate ourselves and open the doors of opportunity to all. And if we allow that to go down the path that radio and TV and cable went down of gatekeeper control and consolidation, then we will have totally short-circuited the promises of broadband and the Internet.
But surely the new head of the FCC must know, even though he was a lobbyist for the cable and telecom giants, he must know that the public are very unhappy. We had recently customers of Time Warner were recently victims of a spat between CBS and Time Warner, where it was clear from their corporate culture that they didn't care about the consumer. They only cared about their playing chicken with each other as dueling corporations. And to me, that was so insulting that, and of course, Time Warner lost a lot of customers as a result. So it's pretty clear what their corporate culture is about, and it's quite alien to the notion of consumer choice. So do you think that maybe the new commissioner of the FCC, I mean, could tap into the notion that the natives are restless, if you will, the public aren't happy with what they're getting, and they're going to be even more unhappy if one company controls two-thirds of the entire market in this country?
Well, I'm hoping they understand that. I think there are people there who do understand that, and now they need to take action. But you're right. So many of these disputes that we read about, they're disputes between the big guys, big money versus big money. And the FCC spends a lot of time arbitrating those things. And, of course, we have all the problems with program access and so-called retransmission consent and all these revenue streams and billions of dollars. And in the final analysis, all these or most of these these billions of dollars come out of the hides of consumers. So I think aside from its substantive shortfalls and all of that, the industry is going to have a lot of trouble convincing the American people, the American consumer, that this is a good idea and that it works to their advantage, because otherwise we just see cable bills going up and up and up, and as you say, there's not enough competition to elicit a lot of fight for consumer support. So it's a big, big merger with big, big implications, and I hope that the regulators will say no to it.
And in terms of being an FCC commissioner, as you were from 2001 to 2011, does the commission take into account how the United States is slipping behind the rest of the world in broadband diffusion? After all, we did invent the Internet, And even countries like France, they have, what, four or five times the speed with, I think, at about a quarter of the price. Cities like Chattanooga have laid down fiber optics and treat it as a utility. But then we find that these companies like Comcast and Verizon go into court and sue municipalities and cities, and they sue states to prevent this kind of competition. So,
Well, I think some of the commissioners do, and I think some of the commissioners don't. But the point is that it's time to take action. That fact that we are number 16th according to the OECD in broadband penetration, and you can cite survey after survey and study after study showing that our consumers are paying much, much more for internet speeds that are slow, much slower than what people overseas are getting. So we need to wake up to that, because this is the opportunity creating infrastructure of the 21st century. This is how you get a job now, find employment opportunities, care for your health, educate yourself, educate your kids, do all sorts of other things. And if we don't have broadband that competes with the rest of the world, we're in big trouble. I think most of us understand that there are large parts of rural America that don't have the speeds that you can get in some places in urban areas. Everybody's paying too much for it, but, you know, that creates a digital divide right here at home, and that digital divide translates into an opportunity divide. So we need to have a good, rational discussion about this and what we're going to do about it, and put ourselves on a national mission to get this broadband built. And that's a responsibility of the FCC, but it goes beyond that. We really have to have a national mission like we had when we built railroads and roads and bridges and canals and rural electricity and even plain old telephone service, where you have government policy, government vision leading the way and providing the opportunity incentives to get this stuff built so that we can be competitive and get the United States out of the deep hole that we've managed to dig ourselves into over the past generation.
Well, just in closing, Michael Copps, it appears that these corporate giants have just gone a little bit too far, and this is a pretty brazen act for two corporations to merge and combining 30 million customers and controlling two-thirds of the market, just one company. Is it likely to create the kind of backlash that you just suggested is necessary? In other words, a consumer revolt?
Well, I hope it really is brought to the attention of the people. Media has a responsibility to talk about this and discuss it and bring it to the attention of the American people. But the American people don't always have as much input into decision-making as the special interests do, and that's not only in communications, that's across the whole policy landscape. But I hope they will speak up loud and clear now. And it wasn't too long ago when the Department of Justice and the FCC both indicated their opposition to the AT&T and T-Mobile merger. That was an exception to the rule of the usual approval, but maybe we can go back to that as a precedent here, because I just think some mergers are so outlandish on their face of it and go so far beyond what we should be allowing that we need to do something about it. And I think there will be a reaction from consumers. I think there will be a reaction in the political area, and hopefully this can be stopped.
Well, Michael Copps, I thank you so much for joining us. I appreciate it.
Okay, enjoy talking with you.
Again, I've been speaking with Michael Copps, who was an FCC commissioner from 2001 to 2011 and currently heads the Media and Democracy Reform Initiative at Common Cause. We're going to take a brief station break, and with the president meeting with the Jordanian king on Valentine's Day, we'll look into what the two might be discussing.